an evening of, I think, about 60, 70 people from the church. And we've got some incredible musicians who can play all sorts of things. And we went down there, and we there's about, I don't know, there's about 140, 150 people packed into the pub. And as I walked in, I just saw, I remember this, there's a lady from Bingo. How are you? All right, how are you doing? And then I saw some people I'd walked down Thomas Street I recognised before. And what I loved about it is that we were actually standing in their space. We weren't saying come into our space, we're saying we're coming into your space. And we did something that people enjoy in Dublin, it's music, isn't it? Music and having a drink. And so we were there together, a group of us, and we had different people playing musical instruments. And it was just a fantastic evening. And as it says in this report, events like this are a great way for us to be salt and light and share God's love and have fellowship in the local community. So out of worship, God's presence can reveal itself in the community outside this church. And then just simply as we're looking ahead towards September, we want to look at God's presence in the church and God's presence in the community. So firstly, we want to seek God, we want to pray, and we want to get the right person firstly to replace Rob, and that'll take time, and we won't be in a rush to it, because we want to make the right decision and we want to get someone who's going to be a great blessing to us, the church. Secondly, we want to look to encourage and build up God's people. And so over this period of time, I really want to bring in speakers who can encourage us and stir up God's gifts, particularly in the area of worship, the prophetic, prayer and prayer ministry, releasing God's presence in the heart of the church. And I think we need a time of encouragement, a time of being built up, a time of thinking, getting excited about God again, getting excited about the potential, what he can do. And we need to bring people who can be our cheerleaders for us as a church. And so we're going to be looking to do that. We're also looking to develop the social center core with events to come along to and bring friends so we can get to know each other and build a social hub where people feel they belong. And so we want to really, the city's a very bizarre place. We can have people here, here, there, there. And so we really want to take the time just to get to know each other and to have a place where we can really grow as a group of people. And just this term, we've got a few things. We've got a curry night, which we'll tell you about quite soon. We've got another music night at the Clock Pub, which is going to be great. And we've got after one of the Sunday services, we have a picnic in the park. We all kind of go into the Phoenix Park and just hang out, have a picnic. And that's a really fun time just to hang out and get to know each other. And then Sunday nights, we're not quite sure how we're going to do the Sunday nights for a period of time with sort of having personnel down. But one of the things we're going to do for once a month is an evening which I've called kind of like equipping the saints, or kind of a time of refreshing, where we're going to invite experienced people in ministry to train up the body of core, and we want to open that to other people outside the church. But we might get someone who's very, very good at the prophetic, who will be able to release the prophetic gifts in the church. Might bring up someone who's very experienced at healing. And so someone who can encourage us in the church in the gift of healing. Might get someone who's a very prophetic worship leader, or a very prophetic person. Whatever it is, we're praying about it and looking for people who can come and encourage us and equip us so that we can be more effective in the ministry of Jesus. And then early next year, we're looking, we haven't actually decided where this is going to be, but just to have something new year for us to go away somewhere as a group of people, to spend a weekend together, to get to know each other even better, we'll probably bring someone in there just to sort of encourage us, and find a place where there's a good bar, a good place to hang out, and just places where we can, just really just enjoy each other's company. So that's kind of something of God's presence in the church from September onwards. And then God's presence in the community, which we're looking next term, i.e. September onwards, is building bridges into the community. And we're partnering with Alpha Ireland to run Alpha Course in Core, and hopefully also in the Clock Pub. And I've been really encouraged by people coming up to me saying, oh, I just got such a heart feeling Alpha, John. And just people who really want to see some of these, to have an opportunity really begin to be very meaningful in bringing people into church, be very meaningful in running things like in the Clock Pub, because we can do that now because we know the people there, so that we can bring new people into this kingdom and new people into church, so that those on the outside looking in become those on the inside reaching out. So that's kind of just a little snapshot of where we are. It's kind of, this is where we are, this is what we're going through, and this is where we'll be going and heading towards. And there's a lot of great things to look forward to. And I think it's going to be a time where God is going to just going to really bless us. I kind of think these are the kind of times where we have to cry out to God. It's the times where we have to be vulnerable. It's the times where we have to press in. But I kind of like that. It's kind of scary, but kind of fun as well, isn't it? And I'm looking forward to the stories and looking forward to hearing what God's going to do here this evening. So what I'm going to do, if I look at the next part of the list on here, it's always lists for these blooming things. So I'm going to invite, I think it's Peter O'Brien and John Fung who are going to give us a financial presentation, kind of where we are at the moment. And then we've got another sort of brief report after that. So if I can invite you guys to come up and do that, and maybe I'll give you a handheld mic if that's helpful. There you go. Do you want to use one of those?
Is this being recorded? It's being recorded. I don't know whether you've seen the AGM report. There's lots of figures in it. And some of them are very encouraging. The period that it covers is the 18 months up until the end of last year. And that's because they are the audited reports. As an external party has come in and said these facts and figures are correct. They've also said that there's some things that are a little bit worrying, such as the regular income isn't meeting our regular outcome or outgoings. And that's something we've been talking about for quite some time. But we've also been talking about praying and seeking God. And one of the things that we can say, which is really encouraging, is that that gap between the income and the expenditure, on average, has been coming down, which is great, and I think we should praise God for that. The other thing, which is encouraging, is that... are there?
There are a few limited copies. It's actually on the website.
Okay. Well, what I'll do then is I'll just headline figures. Then, could you?
Yes, sure.
And we're just going to talk about averages. Then there are two different kinds of income for CORE.
Of course,
it's been heavy doing it like that. There's what we refer to as the regular monthly income, and that is the income that comes from you, and that is the majority of what keeps CORE running. It comes in standing orders, the envelopes, collections. It's the sort of things that we are able to, in general, look for a tax rebate on, which is also good. Other areas where there's, let's just call it irregular income, is in with grants, gift day, and so on. So there are things that kind of go up and down during the year. Because our expenditure is fairly steady, it's always nice to have the income fairly steady, and that's generally what regular income is referred to. So the regular monthly income, on average, over the 18-month period, was $19,271. I can say that because I can read it. Now, just to give you an idea of that's an 18-month period. So 19,000, or just under 20,000. Over the same period, our expenditure is around 27,000. So, actually, let me just double check that. Sorry, I was working off wrong years. 32,000. So there's quite a gap there on average. But over the past 6 months, the last 6 months of that period, okay, so that's July up to December, the average income, this is the regular income now, is coming in at about 18,200. and the average monthly expenditure is coming down to 29,000. That's under 30,000. So the key thing is that we're finding that although the income is also going down, our expenditure is going down more, if you see what I mean. So the staff and people who run ministries here, such as Liberty Saints and Kids Club, etc., there's been a real focus on keeping things, trim. I was just going to say as tight to the bone, but trim sounds so much nicer. So the reduction in expenditure, such as, in fact, you can't even say there's anything any frivolous expenditure. I mean, we have custard creams on Sundays. I think there's a push for Marietta's. Exactly. Things are that are sick. So anyway, we have a number of different presentations and slides of various different services over, the past 6 months, although we haven't been doing that over the past 3 months, I think. We have been talking about the financial situation. So we're running a deficit, as in we start a financial year with a certain amount of money, and even with the tax rebate and gift day, at the end of that financial year, we have less money than what we started with. For this financial year, which runs from, and now I'm getting into talking about stuff that just goes past the report. So this audited report, again, goes up until December 2009. But we've worked on a financial budget for the financial year, which is July 2009 to June. I had to think about that, the June this year. And we were working off a budget, an expectation of 40,000 deficit. And despite the fact there's a drop in income we're on target for that, which is really encouraging again. On average, we were expecting about a 10,000 deficit a month, and then the tax rebate to come in and bring everything back up. We're still on target for that, like I said. So that's very encouraging, but it does mean that it's not sustainable. So there's other areas which I think, John, you're going to talk about later. No, maybe not. Where I think it's been mentioned in various in different services as well, that the community, businesses in the community, individuals in the church and beyond are also getting in behind the ministry or the vision of CORE as well. So I suppose we want to be very clear that there's pressure. Obviously, when there's a difference, where a lot of us are facing it, where there's a difference between our income and our expenditure, and it's not a positive difference. There's pressure coming in from various different places, but the staff and the CORE members are managing with God's help. We will get through this, and we will see the vision being carried out by us, really, with God's help. I don't know, did you have anything else to add to that?
Let me add a few other thoughts. And John, do we have time for questions on this, or do you want to save that till later? So let me kind of just sum up kind of what Pete said, and then let's have it, if you want more detailed questions of finance stuff, and James, please play timekeeper with us. Pete kind of jumped to the figures. I might kind of give an analogy. Imagine you're swimming, which I haven't done for a while. There's probably three states when you're swimming. There's kind of like drowning, which is where you're literally sinking under the water. There's treading water, where you're kind of like, you know, staying afloat but not progressing. And there's like swimming, gliding through the surf like a glider through water. About 2 years ago, we were kind of like drowning, right? We were like very close to literally going under, hence the water analogy. I think over the past 2 years, I'd best describe how we are as kind of treading water, which what Peter's saying is like, you know, you're kind of gasping, you're slowly, slowly sinking, and then every now and then we get thrown a life raft, like a tax rebate or a gift day, which brings us back up to the surface, and we kind of, over the course of, you know, the year, stay afloat. But it's very difficult to progress. we really want to swim, right? You want to have money so that, for example, people in ministries, you know, can say, okay, I want to have a, you know, worship day or kind of a something extra for kids club or things like that. When we're looking at people like Rob's replacement, or we want to have those conversations about what kind of person can we get, not kind of who can we just afford to get, but what's the right kind of person, and then bring on more staff, you know, a worship pastor or additional help or things like that. And so I guess the general message from us is we're in treading water as we look towards kind of May 16 to 23rd, the kind of week of fasting and prayer. Really love the church to think about what can we do financially to take it from staying afloat to kind of really swimming and really taking the next level. And that's where we need to be. Any questions kind of about any of the financial stuff? Yeah,
Margaret. I just think in 2008, staff costs were 84,000, and in 2009, 96,000.
Yeah, that's a great question. What happened in 2008 is that I think many of you remember, will know Kathy Heaslip. She goes to this church. She was John's PA, and then she left in about April that year to go and pursue studies. We were looking for an administrator to replace her. Eventually that man was James. But there was about a 4 to 6 month period where we had no one employed. So that was kind of the difference in the overall wages. Okay, the salaries actually haven't gone up in that time. Let me qualify that. That particular change you're talking about wasn't because anyone's salaries changed. It's just because we weren't paying an administrator for 6 months of the year because there wasn't anyone. So actually, everyone who was employed was at the same salary. It's true that salaries have not decreased, and in a time when I guess many outside the church have. What we did as a Nehemiah group, our job is not to kind of make judgments about salaries. What we did is we had discussions about, look, what are all the ways we can cut costs? Some of the things we took into our own hands, like, for example, you see James has been good about saving expenses around the church. But for some other things like salaries, we can only make a recommendation. And our recommendation was to the trustees, look, you guys are responsible for the salaries, particularly of the pastors. You need to do a review in terms of kind of like think, you know, what is fair and reasonable. And that's what they're doing.
And could you explain what stipend is?
Stipend is the word, and guys, please do correct me, but the pastors in particular, Rob and John, aren't technically employed by CORE. They're employed by the Church of Ireland. So they're not actually accountable to us. They're accountable to the Archbishop. We still effectively pay them a wage because we pay the Church of Ireland, who then pays them a stipend. So I guess it's the same thing, but the wording is different. Yeah, Mick.
Are we under the umbrella of the Church of Ireland, are we obliged to have assistance? Or would that be potential saving if we weren't, you know, immediately to replace Rob? As you know, to purely from an expense point of view.
Yeah, I think it's a balance between me.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, do you want to say that?
I think the question was, are we obliged to have an assistant pastor, you know, like Rob or anything? No, we're not, but I think there's a point where there's only so much I can do before being carried out in an ambulance, and I don't particularly want to be doing that. So I think we want to look at creative ways of bringing people on and to, you know, to use lay leadership and to encourage the gifts we have within the church. But I think for instance, a lot of the Sunday nights, which I put Rob responsible for, and also developing things of momentum, you probably put 50, 60 hours a week into that. And so when that goes, there's quite a gap in what we can do. And so it's, it's a very good question. And I think it's one that we have to consider. But I think there's, if we're going to do what we're doing, I'm actually exhausted at the moment, just going through this transition bit. And I don't know how much I could do for so long without that support. So that would be my personal thing. So.
Yeah, Paul.
I suppose firstly, I'd like to thank James for the clear decrease in the church maintenance costs. Like, that's astounding. There's a 30% or a 33% decrease there, and I just think that's purely down to James doing an awful lot of work around here. So Thank you, James. But I am like a broken record when I say that the staff costs being, you know, over 50% of our total outgoings is astronomical for any organisation. And, you know, even though James saved 30%, that's only 15 grand, whereas like 5% of the staff cost would be nearly the same amount of money. You know, and I know that's not hard. It's not an easy thing to hear, and it's not an easy thing to do. But you know, everybody's having to, you know, take pay cuts, and people have lost jobs and all that sort of stuff. So you know, it does upset me that the staff costs are so colossal and that they have gone up in the last year. So I just thought it's worth mentioning.
Well, I would underline that. I don't think the church should go into debt, because it's very hard to get out of it. And I think, you know, things like bingo, that they should be self-supporting. I mean, they're a lovely group of people, about 40. They come in and they get tea and coffee and biscuits, and they get it. And all the prizes, when I was helping, were free. And I think they wouldn't mind giving maybe €2 each, and that would cover the night. You know, I don't know whether that's happening now or not. Is it?
It does.
It does now.
While it's not self-sufficient, those who come...
Do I need to repeat the question? Or okay. Actually, it was more of a statement and then a question. So it was a... Can I just make it in general about ministry supporting themselves, and then specifically what's happening with Core Bingo, which up until recently was the budget was allocated for €150 a month to cover the cost of prizes and tea and biscuits. So that's for 40 people from the area to come in and once a month and have a wonderful time, and has already been mentioned that these people, most of them ladies, and I hope the one or two guys who come along don't mind me referring to all of them as ladies, just in this one case to make it easier. But the ladies who come in at the moment, they contribute as a collection. Now, it doesn't cover the entire cost. However, having said that, some of the small groups also contribute, as in they either go and buy the prizes themselves, or they would bake some goods and so on, so to cover some of the costs. So we have had, in the case of Core Bingo, and I can speak specifically about that, there have been some months where we have not spent that £150. So that £150 a month budget allocation, though, for 9 to 10 months of the year, well, you can compare that to the over 20,000 that we spend a month on staff costs. So in one sense, as I think Paul has already said, there's only so far you can go with cutting the operational costs of ministries, or not maintaining certain things that perhaps would need to be done. On the stitch in time saves nine philosophy. So, as John has already said, the Nehemiah Group has gone to the trustees, has raised this as on exactly the same point about, well, sustainability, and one of the issues with a church is that generally contracts are in place, as I said. Some of the staff are not actually employed by CORE. So, actually, not even Nehemiah's, in that sense, responsibility. They are employed...
Set by the Church of Ireland.
Yes, so next point.
They're uniquely set outside the church. So,
I said stipends are set outside the church, by the Church of Ireland. So that's what... So I'm just saying that. So it's not they. That's how they do. That's how they do it.
I think somebody had mentioned the point of debt. Is that, and just to clarify that, the church is not in debt, as in it's not borrowing any money. The 40,000 deficit for the year is being paid for out of savings from previous years. So there we've had surpluses of previous years, and so in that sense we're living off that fat.
But also, can I say something? Since I've been here, it's always been it's always been the same every single year in terms of, you know, in terms of the tax rebate, the thing always ends up. I mean, I've been here 5 years and we've always paid the bills. I'm just sort of saying that I appreciate the fact that we've got to be good stewards, but I'm saying that it's how that we always get to the very last minute, and then that's how we have done it so far. So I'm just sort of saying it's not an unfamiliar pattern since I've been here anyway.
It's also another point to make is that CORE is a service ministry, as in it's labour intensive in that way. CORE Bingo is labour intensive, running CORE Kids, running Kids Club, it's all labour intensive. And some of that labour is volunteered, and other people have made it their vocation in life. So we've gone to the trustees and we said, as the employers and as responsible for CORE, please take a look at this. And so we're waiting for them to come back to us. So we share your concerns. Is it appropriate for us to talk about perhaps how things are structured? This might be going beyond the scope of just the finance side of things, but I know that for some there might be...
Sorry,
yeah.
Why don't you just see if there's any more questions?
Well, I suppose I was seeing if it was worthwhile to cut off any questions that might come up, because there's a difference between the trustees, the Nehemiah group, and also within the Nehemiah group there's the financial subcommittee, which is... John, David, and myself. Other questions? Okay.
Well, I was going to ask about that, but my other question. I was going to ask about the structure, but then my other question was just about. Well, it's kind of related to the structure, because if there's a deficit that big, in terms of a strategy, you know, to kind of cut that and get through, is there a sort of strategy in place? Because probably, I would imagine, as people leave in the summer with Rob and all that kind of stuff, that probably means the regular giving is going to go down as well. So I guess I just have a question about that. What's the strategy in place? Because I know it's hard to plan because it's very unknown, but... Yep, fair enough.
So just the question here is, like, is there a strategy? Because people will leave in the summer, and therefore, if we're already kind of tight now, that will make things even worse. And John's response, which is correct, is one of those people leaving happens to be Rob, which will obviously affect expenses materially. I think I would give a balanced answer also. I mean, we as the finance subcommittee and Nehemiah have not figured this all out. We can speak directionally and we can say, look, expenses are going down, but people will leave. So we need to be very vigilant about kind of our own giving and really think about what that's going to look like. Because it is quite possible that the amount of giving may go down by more the amount of expenses. So really, I guess I would really turn our attention to May in terms of saying, look, we need people to kind of like review their own giving and see what's possible. John is also pursuing some other things with the fundraising with regards to, like, he's been approaching a number of business people in the committee and I think in the community, and also trying to get more people involved in fundraising in addition to giving. Now, again, that may not be enough, or it may just be enough to tread water. We want to go a step beyond that. So that problem remains.
In a way, I think we should cut our coat according to our cloth.
I'm not going to explain the analogy on it.
If you have £10,000, you live within the £10,000. Just like a family, if there's less money coming in, you've got to exist on what you have.
Yeah, no, it is. So, look, that is a good point and a good principle. Let me kind of maybe say what Peter was saying and summarise all up. There are two major kinds of expenses. About 70% is on salaried costs and 30% is other stuff, right? So that's been roughly our proportion, give or take. Now, as we saw that kind of like income was decreasing, this is about 2 years ago, we've done all that we can to try and decrease the cost that we, as the Nehemiah Group, have, you know, dominion over, which is that 30% that expenses. So Jane's been very good about reducing the building costs and, you know, ministry expenditure has been a bit tightened. The 70%, which is wages, is not actually under our authority. It's under the authority of a group called the Trustees. Actually, just on that note, do people know who the Trustees are? Okay. So it's in the document. Just there's five people on the committee. Two of them are regular members of Sunday Morning. There's Rasheen up the back and Ray Murphy, who you probably know. And the other three are kind of broader members of our community. And it's chaired by a man called Bishop Miller. Now, they are the people who have the authority placed to them by the Church of Ireland to make decisions about that 70%. We have made a recommendation that they look into that. We have no more authority to really give more than a recommendation of, you know, we're cutting other things. Have you considered this? And as far as we know, they have considered it and have chosen not to do anything about it yet. So if you would like to petition for that, we would encourage you to approach those people. But we can't actually do any, we as the Nehemiah Group can't do any more than kind of what we've got. Yeah, Emily.
I just have 2 points. One, John, it was really encouraging what you said there at the start. I just feel really excited about, you know, what God's going to do in September. So thanks for that. But my concern, first concern would be, as Mick said, the next guy we're going to bring on, or woman that we're going to bring on board. From the figures, I personally don't think we can afford someone at this stage. And for the, I mean, we'll see when Rob goes and who leaves with him, who will be left. And at that point, it might be time to look and see, can we afford someone, and is there a need at that point? That'd be the first thing. My second thing was the structure of the church with the trustees and then the Nehemiah group. I don't think anyone really knows what the Nehemiah group do and what the trustees do and who they are. And the trustees have been in place since CORE was founded, and isn't maybe a need to disband them and to set up some other body that can, I don't know, support us. But it seems a little bit strange to have people that aren't here on a day-to-day basis at all and that have their own churches around the country and are very busy. And the Nehemiah group, I know the idea of it is great, but from what I can see, it's not really working. That would be just my opinion. So I don't know, as a church body, can we sit down and discuss how we go forward rather than just leaving the structures that are in place, you know?
I'll take that one. It was very broad. There's a few topics that you covered. One was the trustees and what their role is. And I think it would be perhaps something that we could look at where, when I say we, I mean as a church, look at is inviting the trustees perhaps to come and to tell us what they're about. Second point about the Nehemiah is that I'm going to avoid, I'm trying to avoid politics in this one, but there's a difference between procedure and practice, or policy and what gets carried out. So sometimes the term select vestry is used, and I'm not comfortable with it because I don't really know what select and what vestry actually means, but the and it sounds scary. It's something to do with clothes. Okay. So the Nehemiah group, and I'm going to try and put it in layman's terms, and I'm going to miss out on a few details or some specifics. So in one sense, it's about providing some input to the minister in charge, who is actually in charge, and the trustees have said, this guy here is leading the church. So there's others getting around him and helping in some aspects of the decisions, but also providing a different input. there's aspects of some responsibilities as a trustees have been delegated to the Nehemiah group, but it's mostly around administration. So this would be, for example, just making sure that safeguarding trust policies are being followed. There's some aspects like that which are administrative in nature. But and that's where I'm going to leave it. It's an administrative body. There was a third point, but I think you'll have to remind me of it.
Yeah. Thanks. And the thing is, just initially when I came to the church, the trustees were very hands-on on the basis of this church nearly went under with the minister having to step down. So they had to kind of step in there and to... you know, hold the whole church. And I think what their heart is to release the ministry of the trustees back into the Nehemiah group and to delegate that back into the Nehemiah group. And it's a process of doing that. And I know that's what they want to do. So I think that we've got to recognize what they've done. Because I think that they do a lot of things in the background that no one has a clue about. And I appreciate that. But they've been very supportive in actually helping this place stay running and et cetera, et cetera. So that's a positive side. And I think the second side is that the church has to be the church owned by the people on behalf of the Lord, and I think there's a sense of actually working together to see how that works. I think the last meeting I had with them, they're talking about how do we structure it more that the Nehemiah group, it becomes more like a select vestry as in any other church, so that it becomes more like I hate to use the word a Church of Ireland church, but there's just the procedures they have in place. So that's really what I'm going to say. So
Margaret and, was it Mark, had mentioned two things that were very similar points, is that you really shouldn't spend more than what you have. And also, well, how are you going to deal with the fact that we do know that there's most likely going to be, in the short term anyway, less coming in? When Christopher Columbus went off and decided he was going to head to China, this is a very interesting segue. He had a vision. You could argue it was the wrong one, but he had a vision, and he had a plan, and he had a grand plan of how to get there. And it wasn't at all like the three ships that he ended up with and all those convicts. But he went around, and in fact, it's a little bit like Cor, isn't it? But he went around, and he had this vision, and he said to an awful lot of people, "This is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it. Can you get behind me financially?" And lots of people said no. Some people said yes, but. And as in, when you're halfway there, then we'll send the check. So we know that you've kind of like your business plan has got some form of execution power to it. This is where things like the prayer week that's been talked about is about taking the vision that we have and that we've been talking about for many, many years, that's core, and saying, well, how do we break this down to this whole thing about getting to China, and then all of these steps that you need to have in place around even just preparing people to get on a ship, and then preparing people to, what happens when you get to the other end, and so on. So there's, you're right, there needs to be something else, apart from just facts and figures, but also, how does the rubber for Cor hit the road? And how do we get him behind that? And one of the key things to that, again, is going to God and saying, well, where his people said, teach us to pray, and you kind of think, hold on a minute, you guys have grown up with Judaism, you should know how to pray. That wasn't Jesus' answer. He went off and he took him through it. We really need to go to God on this one about how does God want us to see his vision for our lives and his vision for this church? Because it really doesn't matter what the vision was for those who built this church or the vision for people who came before us. What's God's vision for here? What's God's vision for the people who live in Oliver Pond? What's God's vision for my city, for my country? And how does God want me to contribute to this? How does God want Cor to contribute to that? So one of the key things, and it's, the onus is not just on the trustees in this sense, and it's not just on one individual within within CORE. It's the onus is actually on God, and the onus is on us to really to press in and to seek His face, because I know it's a trite answer, but where He guides, He provides, and that's what we really need to hold on to. I think in the prayer week, it's not a prayer week. Fasting and prayer. I just didn't want to mention the fasting part. That was all. So fasting and prayer. That's where it starts, and that's where it continues. But there's obviously more than that. I can't say anything more than that. It's to get involved in that and get what God talks to you about. Share it with others, because I think you'll find that there's other people who are also hearing the same thing.
Just one response to what Nehemiah does and who they are. I'm a Nehemiah, okay? One of the things I would say is, about 2 years ago, or as far as John was talking about, the church was ready to go under the money. We were talking about this at the meetings. We were going to last to June. Okay, we're still here, okay? And that is as a result of what Nehemiah and the people in Nehemiah have done and proposed and put forward. So it's not a case of it doesn't work. It's a case of we can only do and work with what we have. I mean, there's more people in court than are sitting here this evening, but you know, they'll be the first to give out that things aren't going well and things aren't, you know, and they can do a better job. And I just challenge anyone who thinks they can do a better job, please come on to Nehemiah, come forward with your ideas. I mean, we're not a select bunch, we're not a closed shop, and we're not some sort of political party where, you know, if you don't know somebody, don't get in. I'm in it. We were in a different position. There was talk about buying the building next door, renovating that. I work in architecture, so there was a bit of expertise needed there. Nehemiah stopped that from happening, which means we're not in debt as where we could have been. So the fact that James is here doing a fantastic job, a Nehemiah decision, and you know, the fact that we're treading water is a Nehemiah achievement. John, we support John. John is not like, he's not challenged us and everything, and it's a democracy, and we sit down and we put everything out on the table, and we say no to things and we say yes to things. All I'm saying is, things aren't ideal, things aren't perfect, you know. We all know that, and if anybody has better ideas, please don't keep them to yourselves. But I would just encourage people, instead of, you know, taking an opportunity of saying things aren't working, come on board, see how they work. If you can improve them, great, and if not, you know, we keep going with the best people that we have. And I know there's people coming forward this evening who hopefully will join Nehemiah and bring with it a fresh look on it. But all I would say is that we're here because of a contribution from Nehemiah, not solely and not just as a committee, but you know, that's why we're still here. I mean, a year ago, a bit longer, it was much more bleak than where we are now. So I think there should be a positive taken out of that Nehemiah has achieved something, and it's not the individuals of Nehemiah, it's the group, and it's the fact that there is a group of people like Nehemiah, Select Fetch, whatever it wants to be called, who are in between a decision or an idea and a decision being made. And I just want people to understand that it does work. Nothing's ideal, nothing's perfect, but it does work.
Yeah, I think it's important as well for us to appreciate what you're saying.
I definitely do appreciate, you know, Philip, yourself, and John, Peter, Wilson. Like, it does make a difference to us. You do keep us informed on what's going on in the church, you know, and how we can help. And Rory, I've appreciated that. I'd like to, I suppose, maybe reiterate what was said about the trustees. I mean, I might be completely, you know, out of my knowledge here, but I don't come from a Church of Ireland background, but like to reiterate the point, like that it seems a bit mad for us to have a board of trustees that don't
come to core and that aren't here that I haven't. Yeah, some do come here. Yeah, and Roshan, yeah, and I do know that. But there's four people there who I haven't a clue who they are, and yet who make decisions on core. And I'd either like to meet them, or you know maybe have a look at the system. You know.
But to be totally honest, I mean, yeah. They leave there. I mean, they're
I suppose. In their general terms, is they want us to get on with it. So the trustees work at their best. It's a check and balance to make sure that you know that the building's not sold off to become a nightclub, or because this building's in trust. You know, it's been entrusted to, and also that. So I mean, there's certain criteria in which they exist, and there are a number of trust churches in the Church of Ireland. So it's not an unprecedented thing, but it's just the way it's set up. I mean, I've inherited this, so I suppose that's the way it has been. I mean, I don't know what the future holds, but there'll certainly be something we can, you know, present to them over a period of time, because it's a massive shift to do something different. But anyway, I appreciate what people said on that side. Thank you. That's great. Anyone else before we move on?
Just one last question on the trustees.
Yeah.
Is it a question that people, we don't know who they are, so we don't really have a sense of accountability of what it is they do and what their performance, and whether they're really motivated for core.
Yeah.
And would it make a difference if people were either elected or nominated or volunteered onto that board?
Yeah.
Who, you know, number one, we could identify with, who knew the situation, who knew what was going on at these meetings, who was here. Now, in fairness, we have representation. I don't know whether this is going to be reported back.
Yeah.
But would it make a difference if we had people whose names we did recognise and we actually saw, you know, changes being made?
But I think there's that makes it kind of like a double jobbing thing, doesn't it then? I think one of the things that's been very helpful to the trustees is the wisdom of you know, just the, having gone through quite a challenging time, just the wisdom of, I mean, you've got a bishop there, you've got a couple of clergy people who are used to the runnings of churches, so it brings a huge amount of wisdom and input to us, the church, that we don't get just on people who are on the near Margaret. So there's a lot of wonderful things that they've given us, and I think that's why Roisin and Ray Murphy and I asked them to be on the trustees so that they could represent us to the trustees. And so I suppose it works as best, you've got the expertise and you've got the experience and wisdom, and I think there's things we've gone through that, you know, they've been incredibly helpful, and you know, not everybody would have that wisdom and that, you know, input in other churches, and I've really appreciated it myself. And you know, but as you said, you know, we're working towards the best system we can, so I suppose that's where we're at the moment, but it doesn't mean it has to stay that way. So
I just hear what everyone's saying, you know, that who are the trustees and what do they do, but I just want to echo what John was saying, that the trustees really have a heart for the church, they really have a heart to see God's vision for the church, and they are people of real wisdom and maturity, and I think it's invaluable, personally myself, having people from outside the church who can just give just a fresh view on things, an objectionable view, and that aren't, you know, stuck in the everyday things that are going on in the church, but they are very informed about what is going on. And I would agree, personally myself, that maybe it would be good to have some more people from the church as trustees, but I think it's invaluable having people who aren't in core as trustees also.
And I think also we've got to remember that we work within the Church of Ireland, and I think the Archbishop ultimately has a say in the whole trustee systems, which we've inherited. So there's also an accountability within the church structure, which is, you know, what this church has chosen. So that's the other side of it as well. So, you know, we have to work as well within, you know, we've got to honour our leaders as well. So, I mean, that's part of the way it's been set up here. So that's where we are at the moment anyway. So you say one more question, Philip, and we're going to, yeah. So, oh, you go.
It's just an observation that Emily has been on the Nehemiah from 2 years? Yeah, and she was speaking from experience of the frustration, and having been on EMI as well, I would equally agree with that. And I believe it does need a restructure. And it struck me that I've never seen a situation where an EMI and a trustees actually sat down together as one group. Has that ever happened? Not in my time.
I think they've wanted to.
And I think that's really the way you start something like this, is to sit down with each other, understand each other's point of view, explain your frustrations, and see what you can accommodate for each other, and go forward from there. The other point I want to make is about tithing. The accounts are very confused this year because they're over split years, but looking at the two numbers there, it struck me that in one period we tithed 5% of our income, and another we tithed around 9% of our income. The target has always been 10, and in the past we were achieving around 12. And I wonder, you know, if we're at a tithing church, if we're not tithing out properly, how will we be blessed in terms of people tithing in? And it's really important that we keep that standard up, that we continue to contribute to those causes that we support. And the Lord will reward us. He will provide for us.
I think we have. I think we've got the money there. We just haven't. I think, what's the answer to that? Because the money's there to be. It's like we're waiting for the next.
Yeah, just a little better. So when Phil's talking about tithing, it's a policy of this church that 10% of the money we get in, we give on to other causes. So that's actually been maintained. What Philip was pointing out quite correctly is that in the period he's speaking about, for a six-month period, only 5% was paid out. Where the rest of that 5% actually goes is, at the end of the month, James actually transfers 10% of whatever came in into a separate account, and about every 6 months, the Nehemiah group meets to actually decide where to give that money to. So the policy hasn't changed. I think what you are seeing is a time lag. Yeah, Paddy.
Yeah, I'm actually asking a question on behalf of Peter Gannon. He was hoping he could be here tonight, but he couldn't be. And he asked me to ask, does this church have, and it quite ties in with the whole tithing question, does this church have a commitment to a sister church or a project outside of Ireland?
Nepal.
Okay. And if it didn't, he was wondering the possibility of supporting a church in Haiti, run by a bishop called Peter. He hasn't elevated himself to that level, but...
Are we already doing...
Just to close off that, if you have ideas for where you want that tithing money directed, I mean, not all of it is allocated, please feel free to share that with members of the Nehemiah group or with John. And then what we do is we vote on that as a Nehemiah group, as in where we will place that tithing. And it can change each time. We have some long-term commitments and others.
The vision really is that it's kind of local, national, international, so it kind of takes into the whole essence of, you know, Samaria, da-da-da, and beyond. So there's a sense of actually that we're not just locating here, but we want to locate outside, and you know, outside the city, outside the nation, etc. So,
key thing is that 10% is ring fenced.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. Right. What's the next thing on the old? So, James, just to give a quick report. Yeah.
I'm just going to very briefly cover two things: the Safeguarding Trust. Currently at the moment we have 47 people on the panel who regularly volunteer, who have been vetted and approved and have gone through the system correctly. We have a further 15 who are going through the system at the moment. Unfortunately, that is taking a bit longer because we've shifted from being able to get Garda vetting done in a month or 6 weeks to the last check, it was taking 15 weeks from the time the form goes in before anybody got covered, which has actually slowed the whole process down, which is why we have more going through the process of being approved at this moment. We're rather hoping that that might change, but I suspect that until political things in the country change, that probably won't. There is no one working with children in this church who have not been properly approved. The other thing I'm going to briefly cover is, I suppose, down to maintenance. During the last year, there have been sort of three major well, relatively major jobs or maintenance jobs done. One was, most of you are aware, every so often we stopped getting water coming from one side of the church to the other, so we had no loos. The system has been modified and so far has been successful in that the part that kept breaking isn't. The other thing that we've had, a fairly major job we've had done, is we've had the emergency lighting system fixed and recertified, because there were some anomalies in that. And the third one is the heating, which I think probably everyone is aware of. Unfortunately, when they put the heating system in, they put Keston boilers in. Initially, the problem was to get a contractor who was actually prepared to work with Keston. Keston are only interested in selling new boilers. Trying to get spares out of them is an absolute nightmare. They won't deal directly with anyone. It has to come through a third party in the UK, and it then has to come to somebody else in Dublin. We live in hope that they will supply the parts we need to get one of the boilers going. And that's pretty much it at the moment. So everything else is being maintained and is in reasonable condition. Thank you.
So I think the next part is just regarding the Nehemiah Group, and to say thank you for those who have served on the Nehemiah Group historically and have over the last few years, and just to say thank you for Cameron Paulberg, Andrew Cooper, Tim Ebbs and David Miller for all they've done. So I just want to say thank you for them, because they have done a great job. And I think, you know, with the Nehemiah Group, I think, okay, whatever has been said, I think the people, you know, we're having some, you know, I think the group is certainly maturing as a group of people and learning how to make decisions and learning how to represent this church. And I think it's something that we're certainly, it's certainly a lot better than it was when it was at the beginning. There's no doubt about that. So I want to be careful in saying that, because the people, you know, I really want to appreciate what people have done on that. And so I believe, James, you're doing the next bit of the voting. You were going to do that, weren't you? So
thank you, John. Typically, the Nehemiah Group can have up to 12 members. We currently have 5, so that leaves 7 vacancies. If we have less than those 7 people proposed and seconded going forward, then we do not need to have an election. It's purely they're proposed from the floor, seconded, and a show of hands. It's only if we suddenly find that we have more than 7 people that we will have to vote to keep that number at a maximum of 7 people going on at the moment. If we get to that point, the first thing we will have to do is to nominate 2 people who will act as scrutineers, who will check and count the voting papers. And that currently is the position at this stage. We can, if, well, the maximum number that can be on it is 12. We have, so we're looking for up to 7. We have a list of people. I've 5 names at this point. Yes, but there's no actual requirement that they have to be filled. Currently, the names that we have are Mark Maiden, Declan Slattery, Mick Goss, Rose Orr, Anne-Marie Gibson.
James, sorry, the maximum time that you can be on it forever, or is there
3 years? 3 years.
Then you have to
resign. Then you... Well, I'd prefer to step down rather than resign. So I suppose the next question is, are there any further proposals? It's preferable they don't. Sorry? Okay, that basically means we don't have to go to a voting stage. We have five people proposed. Are we about to get... Could we have somebody on the floor who would propose those five names and somebody else who would second them, and then we'll have a show of hands. Rory. All those in favour? Carried. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
So thanks again for coming this evening and for the very helpful questions and the challenges we have obviously ahead. So I'm just going to close in prayer, and then we're going to have the opportunity to have tea and coffee and all that kind of stuff. So Lord Jesus, we want to recognize this is your church ultimately, Lord, and we're here to serve you. And I want to pray, Lord, that you would release your wisdom and your strategies, Lord, and your good governance over this place, Lord, that this will be a place that glorifies you, Lord, and that we would see all the good things that we read about in the Bible, Lord, be a reality in this place, Lord. I'm just going to pray now for your blessing upon those here this evening, Lord. We're going to pray for the blessing upon the new members of the Nehemiah group, Lord. I pray that it will become and is a wonderful.